There was a desire that we would read together with God's help from the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter number 2. Colossians, chapter number 2. Ljubav želim da se pročita iz poslanice Kološanima, druga glava. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins in this uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are just a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. It was mentioned in our prayer as we prayed to our Lord of a purpose of our coming together. And if it really isn't for the soul purpose to worship our Lord, our gathering is absolutely in vain. Absolutely in vain. So we have to ask ourselves, if we came to worship, or we even sang in the hymn that we bring our offering to him. That means we've come to the altar and we're going to bring our sacrifice to him. What did we bring? What did we bring today? To worship our God, our Creator, our life giver, our life sustainer, the one whom the angels adore, the one who of whom the heavens are ringing out, and of whom it tells us here in this chapter that in him dwelleth the fullness, all, the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, in Christ Jesus, the one who came to this earth, in Bethlehem, in him, is the fullness of the Godhead. He has to be our focus. He has to be our love. He has to be the reason that we've come together to worship him, to adore him, to praise him, and that will knit us together. It's nothing that you and I can do to love one another. Oh, I'm going to try to love you more. It's when I come to worship my Lord, and you've come to worship the Lord, we are knit together. But if we came together to see who is wearing, and if we look for reasons to establish ourselves as superior over someone else, if we look for a means in which we could mock someone, belittle someone, we can do that. We've all gathered together by our own free will. We've come together by our own free will, and we've come together, we know why. And the Lord, through the Apostle Paul in this chapter, is really reminding a church, and he's in prison, and he's never seen these members. He's never seen these members face to face, he says. And he's in prison, and he's writing to them a letter that is so full of love for them. Ones he has never seen. We see each other here every Sunday, Wednesdays perhaps, and so on, several times. We know each other by name, and we know the families, the children, one another's. We've come to know and love one another. We know each other, though. He doesn't know them. And he describes a love for them that is often lacking amongst us who see ourselves, who believe that we are the body of Christ. Well, the body of Christ is described as one that is knit together. There's no separation. A body cannot, and we know that Apostle Paul writes about that in his other epistles. He writes about, and he writes it even here, how we are knit together and with sinew and everything. It's one body, and that body is the church. And so are we a member of the church by name, or are we a member of the church? Are our names written in the book as those who have come to Christ, learned of him, loved him, and gave ourselves to him? Sacrifice, my offering I bring. Did we bring our best? Am I ready to sacrifice the things, to give up the things that will hinder my knowledge of him and to see him of who he is, as Apostle Paul describes him? What is it in my life that is hindering me from seeing him as Paul so eloquently and beautifully describes him? What is it in my life that is robbing me from that vision, that will cause me to fall face down before him and worship him? And I will gladly come in the house of the Lord to worship him and to enjoy the fellowship that we as a body of Christ, a body knit together. We know what a knitting is. We have many sisters, and we've seen knittings that are just knit together, and it's bound together. There's no divisions. That's who we are. We have come to acknowledge who he is, and we fall prostrate at his feet, and we worship him. And our love for one another is evident to all. There's no ignoring of someone. You don't bypass someone and not greet them because whatever. There's no such thing. Because if we do that, dear ones, we are not a part of a body. You cannot be a part of a body. How would I not just cut my hand off? I would never think of it. But rather, if it hurts, hurry, get it healed. Help. That's how Jesus revealed to the Apostle Paul who we are as a church. But the focus for us to be able to be that has to be Jesus. He talks of him in whom, it says, of him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Gone are the philosophers who'd come out centuries before Jesus. And even in there, what they did is the philosophers saw, and I think it mentions philosophers in here. It might be the only place in Scripture that it speaks of philosophy, but these philosophers had brought their way of coming to the completeness of life through their understanding. It's a man's understanding. It's nothing. And amongst themselves, they'll have different opinions. Even in this time, there were Stoics and Epicureans and those who had complete different opposing views, but they're philosophers. That's all you're going to get from man. That's all you're going to get from him. But in Christ that is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Jesus says, where your treasure is, there is where your heart is. So if the treasure is in him, our heart is with him, and he then gives us his wisdom and his knowledge, which, dear ones, we don't need to go to school to learn. You know, oftentimes we get, and this is the feeding of the flesh, we tend to be drawn to men who are eloquent in speech and so on. Paul says, I came not to you in excellency of speech. His only goal, focus, was to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, like it or not. Doesn't matter. Will the church grow? Doesn't matter. Will it be left with one man in the pews? It doesn't matter. Paul said, I will do nothing but preach Christ and him crucified. Is that my focus? Is that your focus today? Jesus Christ, the one that I love. I will place no other idol before me. There's nothing that is more precious to me than the name of Jesus. In him is hidden the treasures. All the treasures. There's no treasure that can be found anywhere else. And he says, this I say, lest any man should beguile you, deceive you with enticing words. And he says, I'm absent in the flesh, and yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. This is what gives Paul. Paul didn't say, I heard you're doing really good there. Heard you're all business owners and all doing well in different fields and doing great, amassing all these riches. And he just says, I heard of your steadfastness of faith in Christ. This is Paul. This is what gave him. He says, I'm with you in the spirit. I am joy. I am joying and beholding your order and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Dear ones, what is West Akron? What is Apostolic Christian Church, Nazarene? What is it? Who am I? Let's bring it down to focus of me, because that's ultimately the only one that I can give an account for. Do we feed one another's appetite for dominance, for superiority of some way, in some way? Do we feed egos? Paul says, I joy in your faith in Christ. That's his joy. Do we have a joy for someone who has truly in his life a display of a faith in Jesus Christ? Without all of the allurements that come, the things that satisfy the flesh, someone who displays his faith in Christ, a love for you, is one that Paul says is one that will speak truth. You know, we can beat our bodies into submission. He says that here later on. We can beat our bodies into submission. That's what the Stoics thought you should do. But you know what? We can easily displace our outburst of anger for just a quiet contempt. And I'm going to appear to you as one who has a handle on my anger. Paul says the circumference ought to be coming from the center. That means that those things that I show, display, should come from the center, because ultimately that's what will matter. I can make it a point to greet every one of you. And you might think, wow, he does not pass anybody by. And it means nothing if my heart can't stand you, or is jealous, has envy, whatever. I don't know Christ. I am dead. That's the problem. I am dead. And that's what he describes here. He says, as you have therefore received Christ, Jesus, the Lord, as you have received Jesus. How did you receive Jesus? How did we receive him? Who is Jesus? What was his display? In him as it says here, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Jesus Christ our Lord, the Lamb of God, the one who physically came into this world, in him you will see. Now, if you didn't receive him, then you don't know him. But if you've received him as he is, he didn't display any pride. He didn't display, he was the meekest of all men, yet he was God. The meekest. That's who he showed. That's what was a full display for you and I to see. We saw meekness and love. We saw righteousness. We saw holiness. We saw the things that we are to receive of him. And if we receive that, he says here, then walk then in him. So that as you receive him, walk in him. Don't walk according to your own fleshly desires, needs, wants, so on. Walk according to him. You didn't see it in him? Don't do it. Don't justify your walking by somebody because whatever. Don't justify trying to be better than someone. Jesus, you didn't learn it from Jesus. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. We want to take flight. We want to get in a hot air balloon. No, it's walking. It's walking with Christ. That means a step by step, dying to yourself, following the footsteps of Jesus Christ our Lord, dying to the things, the rudiments of this world, the things that are so attractive and call me and beckon me. And so what do? We become attempters of living a life of holiness. We try. And so what am I going to do to try? I'm going to beat myself up. Okay, here's what I'm going to need to do. This week, I'm going to need to read X amount. I'm going to need to do this. I'm going to need to visit the sick. I'm going to do this. I'm going to. And we could be the best Christians and not even know who Christ is. Yes. That's what Paul is saying. You could be the best of Christians. and you don't even know who Jesus is. Because keep in mind, Christianity is a faith. It's a religion, I mean. And so we can call ourselves whatever we want. And we can display it. We can display it and not even know him. And so we need to know him in order to love him. That's the commandment that will fulfill all the law. How many times do we feel in our own life, how many times do we hear from others, oh, I did it again. I sinned again. I sinned again. I did it again. Because there's no victory. You know why? You know why we weep and we weep? Oh, I'm just so weak and I'm just this and I'm... The reason we're weeping, we're forgetting. We have been forgiven all trespasses. So why would that make me weep? Well, I'm weeping because I'm weak, right? No, I'm weeping because I know I am not willing to give that sin to Christ. I know I don't want to give it up. I know I will not give it. I say, well, yeah, but I do want to give it up. No, you don't. No, you don't. I don't. If I'm doing it again and again, I want that more than I want him. And so that's why I'm weeping, because I know my sins are not forgiven. So that's why I do have a problem. My sins are not forgiven. But when I come back from those things, when I repent, repentance is the key. Who was it I just spoke to reading? We talked about what forgiveness means. To be at peace with God and man, to be at total peace with you. You cannot, so when someone comes to Christ, we ask them, do you have peace with all men? Have you made restitutions, we call it? Have you made the corrections? So if you've come and you mocked me to my face or even through to someone else, you know that one day I might hear that and then there's not going to be peace between us. But when you come and you correct it, you have now peace. I cannot throw anything in your face anymore. God will certainly not do that. He's forgiven you. You've repented. You have peace with God and man. You have forgiveness. You're not weeping over your sins anymore. It says here, you hath he quickened together with him. He's made you alive with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. But trespasses that are not repented of, trespasses that are lived in, trespasses that are continually repeated are alive. 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 How will I stand before the judgment of God with a sin that is alive? A quiet contempt is in me for against you. A quiet just within me burning something, a hatred that I will never display. And I'm going to stand before the God who is going to open up the books. He's going to open the books. What do I say? What do we say? We just read Friday morning of Jacob as he gathered his sons together right before he died. And he talked to them and he told them the sins. He openly told them the things that they did. Things that perhaps they thought that he forgot about and didn't even, 40 years goes by. Well, a 40-year-old sin goes away. No, it didn't go away. He told them about it. Standing at the judgment seat of Christ, a sin that is alive is not forgiven. A sin that is repented of and overcome is forgiven. And so, we are called here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So he's even talking about someone who will take and show you a way. This is what you have to do, this, 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 and this. And he talks about it here later. Talking about a voluntary humility. People get into speaking, it says here, into those things which you don't know anything about. Worshiping of angels. You know nothing about an angel. You're worshiping an angel. Why? because you don't know Christ, then you don't know to worship him. Because if you know Christ, you worship him and everything else goes away. It has to. It has to. It has to. And so, dear ones, we don't have that on our side to be able to explain away my failure. Jesus knows I am in flesh and blood. Jesus knows. What, he doesn't know? He created me. What doesn't he know about me? He knows every hair on my head. He knows every thought that races through my mind. He knows every one of your thoughts now as we're listening to this chapter. He knows every thought going through your mind right now. Everything. And we will be at judgment for that. We've come to worship him. Is your all on this altar of sacrifice laid? What did you hold back? What did I hold back? He says, in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then look what he says. And ye are complete in him. And you are complete in him. And dear brothers and dear sisters, this is probably what causes all of our angst, all of our relationship issues, all of our sin, all of everything that we do. We don't recognize that we are complete in him. We want something else. I want to establish a superiority over you because I'm not complete in him. And there will be divisions amongst us because I'm not complete in him. Unity is not something that can be really worked on. I can't work on unity. You may think, well, what do you mean? You really can't. Because when I am in Christ and you are in Christ, we are knit together. We love the same. The object of our love is the same. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. He is everything to me. He is everything to you. We are knit together. I don't have to work on loving you. It's what comes from a heart that loves the Lord. It comes out of me. And we enjoy one another's fellowship and we worship him together. And we have a great joy and a love for one another. How do you work on that? How do I say, okay, I'm gonna love you a little bit more? I can't. You do or you don't. And if I don't, I know there's a problem. And the problem is me, not you, me. If I can't love you, it's a problem in me. Don't write it off as he's the problem. No, I am the problem. Because if I am complete in him, it says here, buried with him in baptism, and then you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And then he says, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him. Made you alive with him. How? By forgiving you your sins. Adam sinned. Sin caused death. Death spread. Jesus says, you were dead. I made you alive. I forgave you that which creates death, sin. I forgave you. The slate has been cleaned. You're called to live a life of completeness in Jesus. Walk ye in him. Walk in him. Step by step. Serve. He says here, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? He says, all these things are going to perish. And he goes in the next verse of the chapter. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. when my affection is on the things of this earth, that's going to create a competition. It's going to create a serious competition. My affection is on the things of this earth, the name brands that are well known and looked at with a high esteem. My affection is on the things that will display my better way of living than yours, and so on, and the jealousies rage and the envies rage, and we're in Christ. We come and we worship and we praise God. Right. He says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Set your love on the things that are above. Why? Because you're dead. Because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. With Christ, who we see, our life is hid. In the life that was on full display for all of us to see, our life is hid in Him, in that which we have seen. In all His holiness, His purity, His love, His meekness, His service, everything, sacrificed Himself so that we might have life. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by this fleshly mind. That's all this philosophy will give you, is a puffed up mind. Do I study the scripture so that I can know it better than you? You see what we can be as Christians? Am I going to want to study the scripture to enter the discussion with you to show you that I know more than you? That's pride. That's flat out pride. I've learned a lot from you, brothers and sisters, over the years. A lot. Everything I know, I learned from you. We share, we talk. We share ideas, we contemplate on things together, and we learn from each other. Not to establish who's better, who's bigger, but to feed the church. We're one body knit together. I have a love for you. You have a love for me. I'm not making myself superior over you. I'm just loving you. And this is the idea of a church. This is what a church does. It comes together. A church has to have a shepherding. Because Jesus Christ said that we need the body to be together. And the purpose of a church is to praise Him, worship Him, to be shepherded, to shepherd one another, to be accountable one to another. But you know what? That's being lost. It's all about individualism. Individualism is not a body. You can separate the hand. It's going to die. It's going to die. You know, we can beat our bodies into submission, but at the end of the day, that second glance, I might be able to turn away on that first, or after that first glance, I might turn away from the second, but the third one's there. The second drink, it's there. I'm going to eventually succumb unless I've given myself to Christ. I've laid it all on the altar of sacrifice. There's nothing. He is complete. I am complete in Him. We have to understand that, dear ones. In order to flourish as a believer, in order to be able to raise our children together, I'm talking about our children. We're all in this together. Are you more focused on your child than mine? Do you not care about my child, only yours? You don't love me. You don't know Christ. I will say you don't know Christ. If your focus is only your child and you could care less about mine, you don't know Christ. Because Paul here is ready to give his life for the other child, for someone else's child. And we're not going to become that through individualism. We're going to only become that through recognizing that the fullness of the Godhead is visibly seen in Jesus Christ our Lord. He is everything. And if he is not everything to me, he is nothing at all, and quit pretending that he is. Let's just quit pretending. And that's what the Epicureans did. They said, do whatever you want. There's no answer. Because if we're going to live our life that way, then that's how we're going to end it. That's how we're going to end it. And we're going to bank on the mercy of God as he gave us his example. He said that the branches of the vine, they get all of their, it says in here, actually being builded up, rooted in love, rooted. So we're building a house and a foundation of Jesus Christ, being rooted in him. So we get all our energy, all our might, all our everything from him. You separate that branch, what good is it? It's not coming from him. If it's coming from him, it has to be pure, it has to be gentle, it has to be full of love, full of compassion, full of mercy, and full of truth. Or it's not from him. And we're being fooled by the vain babbling that is going on in Christian circles, in all circles, in government, in everything else. Lies are being spoken nonstop. Who is the father of lies? And Jesus Christ is truth and love. Are we rooted in him? Are we growing in him? Are we walking in him? Dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, this is for us to all really just contemplate and ask ourselves, am I trying to be a Christian by living a certain way? Because I'm not a Christian then. I'm not. What do you mean trying to live a certain way? I don't understand what it means to say, okay, well, I should do this, or I'm going to do it. What's that mean? When the heart is given to Jesus, and he is everything to me, he's going to direct me. He's going to give me. He's going to show me how to love you and how to love my enemy. Do we have a problem loving one another who are in Christ? In Christ, we have a problem loving one another. And Jesus says, love your enemy, the one who wants to cut your head off. He says, love him. So as we observe our own life, because this is all I can bring to church when I come, I bring myself. My flesh, my will needs to go to the cross before I come to the church. Because if I come with myself here, I'm going to be a display of everything that is anti-Christ. It has to be laid on the altar of sacrifice. In order to be able to have come today and do what we believe we came to do, worship the name of Jesus. Amen.
Throughout this entire chapter, Apostle Paul is drawing the attention of the Colossians and those who would read this passage of Scripture to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he begins this chapter with a phrase that is very powerful and draws our attention to Jesus Christ. He says to them, I would. It's his earnest desire that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. And he goes into speaking of the things that he desires, that their hearts might be comforted and knit together in love. But he wished that the experience of that conflict that was in his life would be known by each and every one of the believers. To know what it means to love and suffer for someone else's good. Because that was the fellowship that Apostle Paul had with Jesus Christ. You think of your life and you think, well, I've suffered. Somebody said something mean to me. But Jesus bids us come to the garden. Come to see the cross. And to show us, was he not without a house more than me? Was he without clothing more than me, as they took it from him? Was he not ridiculed and shamed far more and suffered for me? To take a loss for someone else's gain is what our Savior did for us. And Paul knows that this is foolishness to the mind of men. And it doesn't make any sense. But it is the truth of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe it. In this knowledge and in this experience of walking with Jesus and having fellowship in his sufferings, we will find in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that no billionaire in this world could ever give us. They can only be found in him. May God bless his word. Amen.